You can now hear Film Actually on Stitcher Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or WebOS device. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed, no memory wasted. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com.
Your passport, please. You have no visa for the DDR?
What do you mean, that's my visa?
Your visa expired 4 hours ago. You have paid for only one day.
But I'm leaving the DDR now.
But you are in the DDR. You must have a visa for the additional day.
Where do I get this visa?
Window 2. Yes?
What?
What do you want?
It'll be much less terrifying if you just come to me.
Wolfman's got nerves!
Make love in the hammock!
What?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Film Actually, episode 107 for the 6th of November, 2010. I am David McVeigh, and I am joined in studio by Josh Philpott, as always. How are you, Josh?
I'm fantastic, and I still have a mustache.
You do? You preempted me! Oh, man.
Maybe I kind of saw that coming.
I think you did.
I did that on purpose.
Maybe I did.
Maybe you'll just have to deal with that. Yeah.
Okay, we are also joined in studio. For those who are watching the video, you've already seen this. But for those who are listening to the audio, a long time coming. Hasn't been in our studio for an awful long time. Katrina Smith, how are you?
Hi. Hello, everybody.
Katrina, how you been?
I've been good. I'm picking up. I had an iron infusion, which helps with anemia.
Iron infusions are good.
Yeah. Lazy 4 hours.
How do they do that?
They put iron in a bag of saline and put it intravenously, but it's not a blood product.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just curious. I wanted to know how that happened.
So that's a serious iron deficiency.
They just suck on a Mars bar.
Because, like, my wife had low iron, my lovely wife Katie, but she took, like, you know, supplements, she took pills, you know?
No, but...
They bagged you.
They bagged me and tagged me. And I have to have another one probably in another 3 months.
Good Lord. You'll be bulletproof.
You know, well, the thing is, like, it's totally amazing because they can't find the bleed. I won't be boring with how they've looked, but they can't. And I said, I didn't even like Twilight. I don't know why I'm losing blood in the middle of the night mysteriously. Like, totally.
She had to go to Twilight.
You've been called Iron Woman.
Iron Woman. I am Iron Woman.
Thank you, mighty chat room. I shall defend your honor.
All right, so what is this? This is Film Actually. This is the official movie podcast of the Geek Actually Network. This is our number one show. This is where we have fun. This is where we talk about our one super passion, I think, from all of us, is our love of movies. And this is where we get to talk about them. And this week we are going to do a little bit of entertainment buzz, only a little bit. And the reason why I kept entertainment buzz down to a minimum is because Katrina's a talker.
I don't know how to take that.
Take it the right way.
And so I thought with our movie review today, I thought we better give it some room to breathe. All right. But we do have a couple things in entertainment buzz, including the new trailer for Zack Snyder's Sucker Punch coming up, which is kind of interesting. We also have a new list of 5 this week. This is going to be 5 notable spy films. And of course, the reason why we're doing spy films is this week's movie is a spy movie. So we thought we'd better do that. But before we get started on any of that, we do have a couple of important things to talk about. First of all, a big shout out to, all right, let's just explain this just a little bit. My lovely wife, Katie's very, very good friend, and my good friend as well, but it's her workmate and very good friend, Karen. I want to say a big shout out to her. She's been going through a few medical issues with her son. Her son's been in and out of hospital. I want to say I'm very happy to report that her son is doing really well, out of hospital. Woo. Everything is fine, and she's a big listener of this show. So I just want to say, you know, Karen, how are you? Good on you. Keep listening, and it's a pleasure to amuse you.
The best, Karen.
And while we're on the amusing part, let's talk about your mustache, Josh.
Well, my words to him were, Is there a pool that needs cleaning?
Yeah, yeah, I've had them all. I've had that. I've had the porn star references. I've had the 70s. I'm being called one of the, what was it? One of the Andes from Hot Fuzz.
Yes!
Yeah, yeah, I know, right?
Oh my gosh, yes!
Yeah, I know. It's like when they said that, I was like, ha, yeah, actually, that's
he looks like he
good.
Should be in the British series Life on Mars.
He does.
Yes. Yeah. No, and yeah. I am completely okay with that.
So I just want to know, what's the architectural plan? Where are we heading in the
November? Well, like, I'm going to leave it about the size. I'm just going to grow it more and more out. So basically, I'm going for the 3D look. So the further out I can make
it grow.
You're
going to wax it sort of?
No, because I find that that just makes it difficult to navigate. Because
well,
you've got these
ultra
two
thin
points.
And become Dali.
Yeah, that was suggested by Dave too. I don't think I've got the hair type for that.
Oh,
like, it's
true.
Kind of really
it's a bit
thick.
Coarser. Yeah.
And I think that I'd just end up with like a really straggly like.
Okay, so the bigger issue is, will you explain to people why?
Yes, no,
this
believe it or not.
For the overseas listeners too.
Yes. Believe it or not, I do not have a mustache regularly, and I don't really like mustaches. But I am wearing a mustache for this month because it is Movember, and not just because that's some date where we all grow mustaches. This is a mustache to raise awareness for men's health. We have a donation box running on the site, rawdlc.com. If you have $5, $10, $15, anything you want to chuck towards us, all of this money will be going towards...
So, in other words, you're saying to raise awareness for men's health, all men should look like porn stars.
I think they have got other health issues, not just STDs.
Yes, exactly. It's we are doing it for testicular cancer. It's towards depression in men, but not limited to those. There are a lot more. If you go to the site, you can get a full list.
James from Melbourne says you trim the sides down and bring the Hitler stash back.
No, believe it or not, that does not work when you work in sales. It can have some very negative
effects.
But you've
got to slick the hair. To the side
exactly.
As well.
None of this is going to happen. So I still have to make money.
Put a black wash through it.
I still have to make money, Dave, no matter how hard you try to say that. So, guys, if you've got a few bucks, please donate. We need as much cash as we can. It's all going towards a good cause.
Yep.
Fantastic. Yep. And that's derailed what I was about to talk about. But we'll talk about it anyway, because we've already talked about this in the tech show, so I do apologize to the chat room. But we do have different listeners for both the tech and the film show. We know this by the numbers, so I thought we'd better bring this up on both. If you've been reading geekactually.com, we are – I say we, like Josh had a lot to do with this, and basically it's just me on a whimsical fancy – you know, fancy-free whimsy. But I think Josh is behind the idea.
well, thanks, Dave. Yeah.
I hope he's behind the idea. Anyway, but basically, it occurred to me, looking at our numbers, that we have a very loyal Australian audience, but we really need to get out there and break that American market. Not break it like, you know, destroy it, but break into it, you know? And so I thought what we really need to do is get over there, press the flesh, so to speak, as Katrina so eloquently put it before, and actually... be in their faces, get to know these people, let them know we exist, and try and get into that market over there. And the only way we're going to do that is to get over there. Mm. And so I came up with this idea called David Storms America, and what we're going to try and do is raise the money to send me over there for like a week, maybe more, depending on how much money we can raise, to literally just go podcast to podcast to podcast and talk to these people. The Leo Laportes, the Scott Johnsons, the Kevin Smiths, the Real Junkies Boys, Natalie Del Conte, the CNET people, all of them. Mm. All right. And so we are taking donations on the front page of Geek Actually. We're trying to do this. We're going to try and start the new year with this. So we want to try and raise this money by January, February. And we're going to live blog it, report it, put lots of stuff up on YouTube, all about the trip and everything else as we're over there. So if you can spare a few bucks, you know, even $2 is great to get us started. If there's any sugar daddies out there who really want to be part of this, love to meet you. we are trying to raise this money. So if you do have a few bucks that you want to send this way to try and get us over to the States and meet all these people, that is terrific. All right, now go to geekactually.com. You'll find it, all the information there, including the post. Just look for David Storms America Tour. All right, so with all of that out of the way, let's talk about movies now, huh?
Oakley-dokley.
All right, so sure. The movie that we are reviewing this week is Red. Now, this has actually been quite anticipated by us. We've been Josh and I have been waiting for this one for a while now.
Well, we've kind of been following everything there is to do with it. We read the original Warren Ellis comment.
yeah, we have, yeah.
Oh, I see. I'm
trying to
think of that. I just
got to
lean like this.
Oh, get out of
here. yeah, we've been reading the original comic, which makes no
impact on this whatsoever. No.
Only the really base
story. No, the original comic doesn't.
The original comic.
The four issues with one character.
Three issues.
Three issues, sorry.
Oh, those three,
Yeah, not the prequels. We're not talking about the prequel comics. The original comic this is based on.
The original comic is basically one guy. It's just the equivalent of Bruce Willis' character.
David sent it to me before.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, because I thought those other ones were part of it as well. But
She read all the prequels I got, and the original comic.
And the original ones.
I'll do my homework.
The original, the underlying storyline is what they took from everything.
Well, yeah, look, basically Warren Ellis,
let's
do some credits here and the people know who we're talking about here. The Red film is directed by Robert Schwenke. It's a great name. And written by John and Eric Huber, and based on the DC comic by Warren Ellis and Cully Hamner. Now, the film stars Bruce Willis, Morgan Freeman, John Malkovich, Helen Mirren, Mary Louise Parker, Richard Dreyfuss, Brian Cox, Carl Urban, and Julian McMahon. Now, the original comic, as Josh is alluding to, is literally the Bruce Willis character. It's Moses. And in the comic book, spoilers for the comic book, by the way, guys. Basically, in the comic book, some Washington types find his file, say he's too dangerous to live. He's a retired spy, kitten man. They say he's too dangerous to live, kill him. So they send out a hit squad to kill him. He gets pissed off at this and basically goes on a killing rampage across America to get to Washington to kill the people who ordered the killing. That's it. That's the comic book, in a nutshell. That's all there is to it.
But the conversations with the office about the check...
Yeah, but...
That was in it?
Yeah, yeah. That was about it. Mm. You know what I mean? It was a conversation. He didn't get the girl. He didn't take her along on the ride or anything like that.
So didn't have friends.
He didn't have the friends. He didn't have the team. So for the film, they've expanded it all out. And made it funny. Yeah, that's right.
Which the original comic is not.
It's not funny. No.
Not funny.
The original comic's not funny.
It's not funny at all.
Now, the comics that Katrina was talking about was just prior to the movie coming out, they released a set of prequel comics.
Four of them.
Highlighting each one of the main characters in the film. And they give you a backstory as to what leads up to this film. And those are really good too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I actually forget who wrote those. I don't think it was Warren Ellis.
No, I don't think so. Who wrote
anyway, if anybody in the chat room knows, I'm not sure who actually wrote. David wants a sugar daddy, says Delta Knight. Oh, yeah. Or a sugar mummy.
He's very equal opportunity. He will take money from anybody.
Yes.
I will. All right, so here, back to Red. Here is the plot synopsis of Red. According to... a site called linksmasty.com. Now, I always try and look around for a synopsis because sometimes I'll write them myself, but if I can find a pre-written one, that's nice. This one had so many different versions of this synopsis. All I can think was, did anybody actually watch this movie? Anyway, this was the closest I could come to, and I don't even agree with all of this. But basically it says, Frank, Joe, Marvin, and Victoria used to be the CIA's top agents. Right there, we're wrong because Victoria was not a CIA agent. She was an MI6 agent.
That's correct.
But the secrets they know just made them the agency's top targets. Now framed for assassination, they must all use... and this is also not true because it's only Moses that is targeted, not the other people, because, anyway, whatever. Now framed for assassination, they must use all of their collective cunning, experience, and teamwork to stay one step ahead of their deadly pursuers and stay alive. Yes?
You're actually wrong because they also target Morgan Freeman's character.
They do, but they don't target Victoria.
No, because she was already dead. She was on the list.
Remember in the prequel comic, she did staged her own death.
Oh, that's true. You're right. Okay.
So...
Oh, okay.
Booyaka.
To stop the operation, the team embarks on an impossible cross-country mission to break into the top-secret CIA headquarters, and that's not the major plot. That happens halfway through the film.
Yes. Anyway,
where they will uncover one of the biggest conspiracies and cover-ups in government history.
So you've got that, and you've given that, and you disagree with it. So give us, in a nutshell, in two sentences, what you think the film's about.
A bunch of retired spies get pissed off about being targets and go on a rampage.
Which is much closer to the comic.
Correct. Yes.
Pretty much. And along the way, he picks up the girl that he's been flirting with on the phone because he realizes her life will be in danger because she's been talking to him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Booyah. That's it. Okay? Nice and simple. Let's watch a trailer. You know what? The trailer actually helps explain it more than the synopsis does.
Bin that synopsis.
Here's the trailer.
Don't make any sudden moves. Don't talk about satellites.
Seriously?
Why are you trying to kill me?
Why would I be trying to kill you?
Because the last time we met, I tried to kill you.
That was a long time ago.
Some people hold on to things like that.
They used to be the CIA's top agents.
Victoria, best wet work asset in the business.
What's that? I kill people, dear.
But the secrets they know...
This is off the books, total blackout.
...just made them... the agency's top targets.
Tell me everything you know.
Some thumbsucker tagged them red.
Red?
Retired, extremely dangerous. Yeah, hey, don't make them like that anymore.
We're going to break into the CIA and find out who's trying to kill us.
We're getting the band back together.
I put a few things away, just in case.
I am excited.
What do you suppose the punishment is for what we're doing here?
Death.
Awesome. I thought it might be nice to have a bit of girl time together.
You can't touch me.
Of course we can.
That's right, old man.
Old man? No respect.
Old man, my...
Red.
I'm just going to say the first thing I'm going to say, and then I'm going to throw this over to you guys. I'll let you guys go first. But the only thing I want to say right off the bat, the losers and the A-Team both wanted to be this movie. All right.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what it comes down to, which is that they're trying to be cool, these cool action films. This film just oozed cool, okay?
It didn't need to be cool, and it didn't need to sell its coolness. It was kind of like that
was
sort of underplayed.
When you don't even need to think about it. I'm just being me.
Absolutely. Who wants to go first?
Would you like to go first?
Yeah, sure, why not? Well, look, I mean, straight out, I mean, I'm the kind of person, and, you know...
Quick question. Are we doing spoilers or not?
We might do spoilers at the end, yes.
Yep.
All right.
No spoilers to start with.
Okay.
I have to say that with already being hurt by the losers and, you know, kind of the A-Team as well, I went into this with very low expectations, which may have been one of the reasons I enjoyed it so much.
Maybe, yes.
The casting is brilliant, and I think that's one of the reasons that I enjoyed it so much. I have to say that out of the cast, for the first time I think ever, Bruce Willis was probably the least interesting character to me. I actually much preferred the three backup characters.
True, but Bruce Willis had a real badass nature to him in this one. He didn't curse too much, and he just felt badass, you know?
Yeah, I love you. You picked his acting style.
Oh, he purses all the time. I can't stand his pursing.
Yeah. He didn't purse much.
No, he didn't in this one. He actually controlled himself in this one.
So the two major styles of male acting are pursing, or a major character in my life's been killed, the jaw-clench acting.
Yeah, the jaw-clench.
Tom Cruise specialises in that.
He does. Bruce Willis doesn't do the jaw-clench, but he does do the purse a lot.
He does do the purse.
And it was getting to a point where the purse was becoming distracting.
Someone else is doing the pursing. You know who else is a purser? Daniel Craig.
I was about to say, the new James Bond purses
He's
a lot,
purser.
Too.
Yeah.
He doesn't. In this film, he controls it, and he just comes across. But that opening scene, which you see in the trailer there, where he's basically... getting all the guys in his house was just badass.
Yeah.
It wasn't, I'm doing this, I'm now, you know, it was just, and you're gone. It's like stomping on cockroaches.
Exactly.
I couldn't
have said that better. Stomping on cockroaches. He was just badass without
Time
needing
out.
To push.
Delta Knight says, I haven't seen Cop Out yet. Don't. Yeah. Don't. Yeah. Stop. Don't.
Delta Knight, that's wasting 2 hours of your life.
Yeah, you'll never get that back.
But also, I want to go back to Delta Knight, say, if it starts with Bruce Willis at Christmas time, well, it does. He's obviously got a thing for that season.
Yeah.
And secondly, James from Melbourne
says if it's
it doesn't have. I'm too old for this sentence. Yes, that's not in it. Relax.
Yeah. No. There is no.
Now
no.
I gotta just stress off the because I was so hard on Cop Out. I love Kevin Smith. All right.
Yeah.
But Cop Out was a big mistake.
Right? Yeah.
Cop Out did not work in any way, shape, or form.
Was that the guy with that Tracy Morgan?
Yeah.
Newsflash: you're not funny.
Hell no. Sorry. Go on.
I haven't seen it. So.
No, I'm talking about the
back
Red.
To your
let's
review.
Go back to Red.
Oh, right, we're going back to Red.
Yeah, let's go back to Red.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right. The film I absolutely loved. And like you said, the thing that makes the film so great is the fact that it doesn't in any way try to act cool. All of the cool moments in the film are just kind of like on the fly. None of them kind of... You know what it is? Number one reason that I hate the A-Team and also the losers so much is every time they do something cool, they've got to slow motion it down so that we can see it.
Well, and then it has to be that hero shot where they go, look at us, we're cool.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Some of the coolest moments in this movie, including what you see in the trailer, which is him stepping out of the car, happen in a flash. There is no pause and no way.
In fact, that him stepping out of the car is slowed down for the trailer. In the film, it just happens.
What Western audiences have to realize is it's so much cooler if it happens so fast you can barely tell what happens.
This was exactly the criticism we brought about The Last Airbender. Exactly. Remember when we said, if they'd done that particular sequence you see in the trailer and then it's in the
normal
film,
speed.
If they'd done it normal speed or full speed, it would have been so much more impressive.
Yeah.
Than this long, slow-motion bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
But that's why Hot Fuzz... Anybody in the chat room that hasn't seen Hot Fuzz...
Oh, I'm sure they've all seen Hot Fuzz.
Well, they were all commenting on my Moe, so... Yeah. They probably have seen it then. But, look, the film has a really good plot. It drives in a very simple direction, which is handled very well. All of the characters in it are playing to their strengths. Morgan Freeman was a lot less asleep than he has been in movies for like the last 10 years.
And more importantly,
nice.
So is John Malkovich.
Oh, I was getting to that. Yeah. John Malkovich is by far the star of this film. He is just what made this film for me go from good to amazing.
I mean, John Malkovich has been a joke for many films now, because he basically just takes a paycheck and does John Malkovich and walks through the film, chooses scenery a little bit, and just does his thing. Here, he's actually...
He's acting. He's working at it.
Just works so well for him.
Absolutely.
The last time he actually did a good job would have been in being John Malkovich.
Maybe that's the problem. Maybe he just... like acted himself and now there's nothing left to do for him and he's only just sort of come to terms with that.
What was that dragon movie called?
Aragorn.
Aragorn. That was appalling.
That was appalling.
So was everything else he's been in lately. So was Jonah Hex. Everything he touches now is crap. This, however, was amazing. His portrayal of this LSD-infused psycho agent is just amazing. His opening scene, as you see in the trailer, is brilliant. His house location is fantastic. The way that he acts, kind of like a sort of a child. He's sort of like the 13-year-old know-it-all. You know, like he believes that he knows how the world works and no one else can possibly be right. I love his speech in the underground of his house where he just starts randomly talking about satellites and ships. And it's just like no one's asked him about any of this, but it's just that kind of I'm going to talk about what I want thing. And just his character was just so alive and so full of personality, and I could not get enough of him.
The best thing was all his paranoia rambling was true.
Exactly.
So he was like the survivalist. I won't tell you where his house is for you that haven't seen it. Where his house
but
actually
it is very
is,
funny.
It's all the paranoid ramblings of a survivalist, but in his case, it's true. Yeah. That was the gorgeous part. Mm.
Oh, no, it's...
And somebody has said, then Helen Mirren with a 50 cal is worth seeing. Look, Helen Mirren is just a legend.
Helen Mirren in general, like, she is the other... Like, to be honest, the show really does focus a lot on her and John Malkovich's character. Mm. They're on screen almost more than Bruce Willis's character. And it's just because... they are these really well-written people, and like there's sort of these great deep storylines for both those characters. And I love the way that the comics actually explain some of the things that don't need to be explained, but give you kind of a richer
backstory.
That's
true. Yeah, and we should say about the prequel comics, if you haven't read them, don't worry about it. You don't need them.
What was really interestingly done about it was having read the prequel comics.
Yeah.
At the moment you were waiting for it, one line summarised the comics.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
So there was no sense of you being on the outer, oh, I'm not a fanboy,
kind
I don't
of
know
a
what's
wink
happening.
At the screen going, if you haven't read
if
them.
If you haven't read
yeah,
it.
No,
but
no,
you
no.
Totally, you were up to date.
Yes.
And that one line or the look or whatever it might have been, the exchange, filled in that gap, which was great.
Yeah, so it's one of those situations where the comic tie-in wasn't required, but if you read it, it just makes it that slightly richer experience because you go, hey,
I
understand. Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand. It's like there was actually a moment in the film where Josh leans over to me and it was almost like the two of us together nodding when they introduced the Ivan character.
Yeah.
We're both kind of like, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
You know?
And I was waiting for him to pull his shirt down.
Yeah, all that stuff. I mean, can we
also talk for a moment then about Brian Cox, who is actually doing really, really well at just... Because to me, you always get those characters playing a different accent, and whether or not the accent works is not necessarily going to bother me if they harness the way that one of those sort of people act, like the Russian like twitches and tendencies and the way he would lean and talk and stuff like that, It's so well handled.
It is. And Brian Cox is a wonderful... He's a wonderful and underrated actor who has been around for a million years. And for the chat room and for the listeners, you might remember him if you've seen X-Men 2. He was Colonel Stryker. If you've seen Red Eye, he was her father. He was in The Long Kiss Goodnight. He was the handler in Long Kiss Goodnight. He's been around forever, and he keeps turning up in these secondary roles.
He was in the first two Bourne Identity.
Yes, he was in the first two Bourne Identity films. He's just a wonderful actor. And here he is again playing this Russian agent.
I didn't care that it was the... target Russian accent either. I like you. Yeah. I just thought, no, you're just gorgeous to watch. You're in that guy.
And there's this charm in his eyes when he's talking. You just sit there and go, I love you. Yeah. You're
wonderful. The richness of
it. And funnily enough, I was just checking up on this to make sure I was right. He's also been in a movie called Red before as well. And if you haven't seen that, I advise everybody to go and see it, which is him playing a guy that lives in a small town and is being bullied by a bunch of local people.
Oh, I've seen that.
Kind of Gran Torino-esque, but much more brutal and much more full on. But he is fantastic in that. So I advise everybody to go out and check out the other Red movie.
Absolutely, let's not. If we're talking about all the actors, so we've been through Helen Mirren, we've Morgan Freeman, we also have Mary Louise Parker in this. Who I have to say, I have been a huge fan of Mary Louise Parker for a long time, and I actually leaned over to Josh several times in the film. I just went, I love her.
She's gorgeous.
I just love her. She's like my age. You know, she's so fun, so much life behind her. She's just got this wonderful charm about her. And I remember when I first saw her, she was in things like Fried Green Tomatoes, and she was in, you know, things like...
Wasn't she in Angels Across America?
She was in Angels in America, and she was in Riding Cars with Boys with Drew Barrymore and stuff like that. And I remember actually talking to people way back then and saying, oh, I really like her. There's a really nice... And they'd say, oh, no, she's boring. And it's funny because she has grown into
herself
because I liked her even back then. But now everybody else is going, wow, she's really cool. Because, of course, she's the star of Weeds, the new series on Showtime, which is now six seasons in. And she's wonderful. And she is so charming in this film. She's so, and you can understand why Bruce Willis would fall in love with her.
Yeah.
She's got three things going for her. She is not trying to be blonde. She's got her own tits. Weeds here. And
she's been nude in Weeds. We've seen her. Yeah, they're hers.
Yeah, and she's also got the vulnerability. That's the beautiful part about it.
It's the eyes, man. It's the eyes.
It was all happening in the eyes.
It's all in the eyes. She's a lot of fun in this film, and she's great because she's our
vintage.
Not our vintage. She's our muse, basically. We're following the story through her.
Exactly.
Because she's the outsider. She's not the spy. She's the one that's being dragged along for it. So we have to relate to her.
Yes.
And I think she carries that really, really well. She's our eyes and ears into this film. And she does that really well. I love her. I think she's wonderful. And I think, you know, I'd be hard-pressed to say who I like more, her or Helen Mirren in this.
Well, the thing that I like about this...
I want them both.
As I was saying before...
Can I have them?
You can have them as bookends.
Thank you.
The one thing that works really well is the fact that the storyline is just, it works so well at flowing. Like, there's no real slow points to the film. It's a really good drive, and it works really well for the full time. And it's just, it's such a ride, because even in the slowest moments of the film, there's something happening that really keeps you, sort of intrigued, and sort of, if they're talking or finding out files or stuff like that. It's not too in-depth. Like, it doesn't push too far into, you know, explanation or anything like that.
This is an exposition scene. Totally telling you things.
And we've had a lot of exposition-based films lately, which is... it's really nice to just be given the footnotes real quick, a sort of look at a page, and then boom, we're going again. And it's like, you don't need to know what's on that page.
And look, I enjoyed the A-Team. I thought the A-Team was kind of fun for what it was.
Yeah.
But this is what the A-Team should have been.
I didn't see the A-Team. Did Liam Neeson bother to act?
Not really, no. Okay. But Charlton Copley did, and Charlton Copley was just legendary. I mean, he was the guy from District 9.
Oh, I love that film.
He played Mad Dog Murdoch in A-Team, and he was fabulous. You look at it and you go, and I would say that I thought the A-Team, we actually gave it an okay review on the show. We said it's fun. It's what it was. And after The Losers... Boy, it was just a masterpiece. But this really shows the way it should have been done.
Exactly.
And this is just so much fun to watch. Katrina, what did you think? I know you've kind of been interjecting, but do you have any... Oh, God.
And you know what? It's amazing because I always try and read her notes to see what she's going to talk about. And
when are we talking about our top five spy films?
That's the end. We're still in the review.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to start with trivialities. I'm going to talk about some superficial aspects of look. Bruce Willis and John Malkovich distracted me slightly with their unbelievably white teeth.
Actually, I will say Bruce Willis's teeth in particular were really white.
I mean, he really couldn't be in a night operation. The teeth would just be glowing in the dark. And there's something, even though I adore Helen Mirren, there was something very odd about hers and Richard Dreyfuss's skin colour. That was like someone had gone a little bit hard on the spray tan.
Especially Richard Dreyfuss, but he's looked like that in his last couple of films.
I'm wondering, liver disease, I'm not sure. Not in pointing fingers, but, you know, that can give you
California, I have to have a tan lifestyle is what it is.
And also he was playing that kind of gross, greasy mafia, so maybe he had some really bad spray on tan. Maybe that was
that was a deliberate thing.
Yeah.
I thought, what I was also really impressed with from a superficiality, I know I sort of start with the tits and the skin and the eyes, because I'm so beautiful. was that Bruce Willis and Helen Mirren haven't filled with their face. You know, they're not doing the whole, oh, I'm Nicole Kidman and I can't, and I'm really surprised now, I'm really angry. You know, they actually are in their faces. You know, that was what was the beautiful celebration, not just of character, but the ability to move your face, and nuance. Nothing of that Helen Mirren and the what was the Russian guy's character's name?
Ivan.
Ivan's character thing would work if their little faces
were set in face. Of course his name was Ivan. Oh.
Yeah, I know. Can we just point out, because talking about subtlety of image, that scene, and it's not in any way wrecking, there's a scene where he's going up an elevator and the camera just keeps switching to his face, and he's just got that little, like, James Bondish kind of, ha-ha-ha-ha, as he's going up the elevator. I just lost it, and it's just so beautiful. It would not have worked.
I love the fact that he never got flustered, though.
Yeah.
It's like, without trying to go into any spoilers, but where she's trying to get through that door. And it's locked, and she thinks it's all done.
It's
and
open.
He goes, "Can I help you?"
Okay.
He just comes
charm.
Just,
he was charm. That suave kind of thing.
Do you know the level of charm it almost reminded me of was Kill Bill, the pimp that cut the girl's mouths. That character, level of
that
charm.
Really kind of creepy.
Yeah,
level
yeah.
No,
charm.
No, he wasn't creepy. It was that level of charm was just like was yeah, it was just full on. Anyway, so
but yes, neurons.
Julian. McMahon's eyebrows, something happened between here and here. They're gone. They're never coming back. Morgan Freeman is just brilliant.
Well, let's stop at this moment and basically say, what the hell happened to Julian McMahon? I mean, here he was. He's the star of his own TV series.
Nip and Tuck.
He was the star of Charm for a long time. How does he get relegated into this little minor role at the end of the film?
It's called a gas bill.
Everybody's got to make money, man.
It's called the Michael Caine clause, right?
Look, last night, for those of you not in Australia, last night, very late at night, they were playing Jaws the Revenge, and it was the 80s, and Michael Caine was in it. And, you know, Michael Caine was doing some pretty dross things in the 80s, and look, he's you know, that man is just legendary.
But
Michael
Caine actually has said openly, he has never hidden it. He actually says, some films he does because he loves doing them, other films he does because he wants to buy a house.
And that's exactly right. And there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, and you always know the difference. Jaws the Revenge, and as bad as people say Jaws the Revenge is, and it is bad.
I taped it, I haven't watched it yet.
And it is bad, and I'm going to give you a minor spoiler for Jaws because I want you looking for it. And
the shark gets killed.
Well, yeah, the shark gets killed, but that's not the point. The point is this. Here's the minor spoiler for you. It's a minor spoiler for Jaws the Revenge. For some reason, at the end of Jaws the Revenge, and this is one of those spectacular moments in film, the shark seemingly spontaneously combusts.
Right.
Because there's no reason for it to blow up. It's like they got to the end of the film and said, how are we going to kill the shark? Well, blow it up. So it just blows up. They run a boat into it and it explodes. And I'd like to know, I've seen this film several times and I still to this day have not been able to pinpoint exactly what causes it to explode.
And I'll email you the answer.
It's like it's got gas or something. And when they run the boat into it, it just explodes.
Maybe. Oh, no, that's a bad joke. It was one of those too soon jokes.
But
anyway.
As I was about to say, no matter how bad that film is, I still stand by the fact that Jaws 3 is the masterpiece of awful.
Was that the one with Dennis Quaid?
That's the one with Dennis Quaid at SeaWorld. And that is the one where I sit there and go, oh, my God.
Do you have that film?
I do.
I may need to borrow that.
Okay, Carl Urban, he's a good little regular guy, isn't he? Just turns up, he does the job. Fantastic. And you know what I also loved? No small parts were small parts.
Yeah.
Every single minor character was on the mark.
Yeah.
The businesswoman that may or may not have been a spy, the other flunkies, there was nobody that was just, you know, stand on your mark, be an extra, there you go, lovely pet. That was I thought the casting at that level to make everybody...
Oh, dude, even when you mean the not a spy thing, do you mean the girl with with the thing?
Yeah, the airport.
The growth on her shoulder.
Yeah, no, she was fantastic.
Yes.
I loved her.
She was great.
Now, no, but let's just backpedal to Carl Urban for a second there, because Josh and I were both kind of on the same page, which was in the first few scenes of Carl Urban, but he grows on you.
Yeah.
No, because I think he's actually deliberately being the two-dimensional drone.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
And
it's like he gets this awareness opening up on
because
him.
So early in the film, you're having to build your affection for the main characters. So there's no point caring about this guy too early because the threat that Bruce Willis's character makes later on has no meaning until he's built up that level. Mm-hmm. And you also have to believe that at some point this guy may or may not get a conscience.
It's interesting because the first moment that even bridges in your mind is the moment where you see him at home.
Yes.
And it's just, I think
it's before that. It's when he's doing his job and finding out he's got to pick up 2% milk on the way home. That's when.
No, but he does that with no emotion, so I didn't connect with him.
No, there was a bit
stage.
Of warmth, and I'm getting,
Can I just tangent here for a minute? Yeah. Just pause Red's review for a minute. We're going to drag this out for the whole show by the looks of it.
Because apparently I'm a talker.
You are a talker, but I have to just ask for a second. Was the Bahamas involved in World War II at all?
My history's not good there.
Does anybody
chat
know?
Room?
Maybe, why?
Because Delta Knight says that maybe the shark hit a sea mine.
Well, I was thinking maybe it was pollution, like an Exxon Valdez or something.
It is Bermuda, so, you know.
It swam into the triangle.
Yeah.
And then went boom. Okay.
Okay.
Can we stop, Joss? All right, okay. Let's go back to Red.
We've done in ages.
This is a very geeky point, and I'm not ashamed.
Oh, good. I love these.
When Carl Urban's character, the CIA bloke, has the punch-up with Bruce Willis, and he ends up very beaten up, and he's got I've got the contact lens with a bit of blood coming away from my iris thing. Sorry, I've got a medical background for those that don't know me. And I love that. I love that post-punch-up, because I hate it when people have a punch-up and then suddenly
the issue I had was they got better really quickly.
Yeah, but it reminded me of the Nathan Fillion in Serenity post-punch-up where he had the thing into the eyes.
Yes.
I like that. I don't know why I like that. It just feels really...
I just love this.
It gives it a much more, like, you feel like they're beaten up. It's not just blood and twitches and marks and stuff like that.
You
there's
know,
a sense
a bit of
that they've had... Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The problem I have, though, is, of course, I mean, literally
no
10 minutes later in the film, their eyes are all back to normal, they're all, you know, the bruises
no,
are all gone.
No, they left him for a fair while.
But Bruce Willis was better, like, the next day.
Yeah, he wiped off. Yeah, he was.
You want to know why?
Because
he's
hard. Because he has a don't mess up
my... Because he's Bruce.
He's made of flint.
By the way, just as a side piece of trivia, did you know that Bruce was the name of the shark in Jaws?
Yes, I did. Apparently it was very
unreliable. Can we focus?
Meanwhile,
thank
back
you.
At the ranch, the script. I want to talk about the script now. But for those of you that don't know, I have broad headings, characters, storyline, oblique stroke, script, special effects, and other. Now, in the script, it was witty.
Get a cup
it was
of coffee.
Punchy.
It's going to be a long day.
No, it was witty. It was punchy. The lines were great. And as you say, they didn't sit around saying, oh, look, our tongue's in our cheek. It was so good. It was just pow, pow, pow. It was really fantastic. And I liked the fact, and this is a very important point, the girl, what was the character's name? The Bint? Mary Louise Parker's character?
I don't remember her
was
name.
Was it Sally?
You'll have the answer.
She was
in just
believable.
A moment.
She had spunk. She wasn't squealing and waving her hands. She did fall over, and I thought, oh my God, it's a fall over, sprain your ankle moment, but she did. Things happen.
Oh, that's in the snow, yeah?
Yeah. But what I thought was really impressive about a contrast between her and the Cameron Diaz character in
Sarah
Night
Ross.
And Day. Sorry?
Sarah Ross.
Sarah, thank you. I knew it was an S word. Was that she never kills anybody, but she's plucky and she's resourceful and a little bit hopeless at times. But the Cameron Diaz character in Night and Day suddenly goes from, ooh, ooh, I'm being shot at to, oh, look, I can kill you. No remorse. Thank you very
much.
Don't
bring up Night and Day again, please.
I'm sorry I wasn't on
the
show.
Night and Day is bringing up very bad memories all of a sudden.
But I'm just saying the difference in a believable chick tag along.
I would not say in any way that Night and Day is believable in any way, shape, or form.
Yes, and I thought the relationship between her and Bruce was believable in sense of that it wasn't just, I'm going to throw a leg over.
And how cute was she in the backseat of that car with the gaff tape over her mouth?
Oh,
and
the eyes.
And
you were right.
And the eyes, and she's sitting there going, and he goes, are you hungry? She goes, pizza.
Yeah, I loved it. But like when he's doing all this talking, you know, and I hope one, and she just goes,
and the look on her face when she's trying to get the bed board off.
Oh, I was wondering, I thought, what's the people doing? I wish they'd had a cut to the people
oh,
on
the
other
side of the wall. No, yeah, me too. I was sitting there going,
what goes
wow,
on
man.
In that hotel that no one cares? And I thought there felt like a space for a sequel at the end. And I thought what really interesting message of the whole film was is that age and experience doesn't equal useless.
Yes.
Then that's why when they're all walking off in their, what my sister calls the album cover shot, I really feel that there was a space for a sequel of The Old Coots Fight Back beyond just that little, you know, that.
But it's kind of the moral of the story, isn't it?
It is,
like,
that's what I'm saying.
Don't discard our elderly.
That's
know?
Right. They have something to contribute, you know? And I mean, it was always, you know, like the merciful. Oh, I can't
and
say
the fact is, the fact is that Bruce Willis, no matter how old he is, in that fight sequence proved that he was just as capable as the young new upstart. You
that's
know?
Right. And he had trained the upstart's trainer. Liked the explosions, quality explosions.
Quality
good special
explosions.
Effects. And I also liked the fact that it wasn't gratuitous gore, which, of course, you do want to see when you're seeing something like Final Destination, but it wasn't gratuitous gore. It was very slick and clean, which it almost sort of was like the professionalism of the team themselves.
Well, the other thing is the level of professionalism also slides in the fact that they don't try and kill everyone. Like,
no,
during
they
that
just
scene,
incapacitated people.
Exactly. During that scene where they're chasing all over the place trying to get their target, which we won't allude to who that is, when they're firing a giant 50 cal, they don't aim at the people. You know, it's about the car, it's about the getting them to move. It, like, no one has to die.
Yeah.
So, and that's great. Like, that's a good sense for me to kind of keep me going through the film, knowing that they're only going to take out, like, it's much more hero-esque.
It was a threat assessment, and deal with it, move on.
Exactly.
They're professionals,
it's clinical.
That's right,
it's
absolutely.
Clinical.
Yes.
And that's what makes it
They weren't
it work.
Murderers, they were professionals.
Exactly.
You know?
And my last point was, I thought it was really interesting having, and it was in the trailer, so I'm not spoiling anything, the iconic opening the door to the big amount of guns scene, which of course we've seen in Men in Black and we've seen in Terminator 2. Mm. For
but
some reason,
John
that never gets old.
But it's John Malkovich's reaction to the guns as well, which is what really makes that scene work.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let me just throw in a few points, and I'm just going to, well, then we'll wrap this up so that we can go into some spoilers, because we want to just make sure we let everybody know what all of our opinions are. I'm going to say that I enjoyed this film absolutely thoroughly for all the points that have been raised already. I'm going to say that I enjoyed watching these fine actors basically have some fun.
Damn right.
You know,
like,
and
that's
the
best part.
That's the whole point, is the fact that you look at, I mean, Morgan Freeman, who's gone playing Mandela, and, you know, and all, but. And, you know, Helen Mirren, the Queen of England, and yet they all got together and they just had some damn fun, you know?
Well, you know what it is, though? It's kind of the fact that all of these actors are that sort of thing. It's like they can all do the serious roles, but the truth of the fact, it's really nice to see professionals play professionals.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
That's what made it work so well.
I had
just
a ball in this film.
Absolutely.
I mean, we sat down, remember, and I went, entertain me. Well, you know what? It did, in spades, and I had
such
a good time.
I love the royal hand. Entertain me. Yep. Do that so they can see you. Do the hand.
Entertain me. There are some movies where you sit there and you just go, I don't want to be taxed. I don't want my brain to be bent. I just want, entertain me, you know? And if you entertain me, you succeed. You win, you know? Sherlock Holmes was one of those films. Entertain me. If you entertain me, that's all I wanted from that film, and it succeeded because it entertained me, you know? I had a lot of fun watching Robert Downey Jr. This film, I had such a good time watching it. Everybody on screen was likable. Everybody on screen, I believed. I believed the storyline. I had fun with it, you know? So I recommend this film to anybody. I'd say if you just want to have a rollicking good time, and, you know, for those people out there who sit there and go, oh, I don't like violent films. No, because it's not really that violent, really, when you get down to it. It's stylized violence.
Exactly.
It's just nonsense. It's comic books, but, you know, it's a DC comic book.
When
lucky
somebody
to use
does
2-3 squibs at the most.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Okay, we're going to go into some spoilers and talk about it, but let's just wrap this up so the people who don't want spoilers can fast forward by 5 minutes.
What's an RPG?
Rocket-propelled grenade.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's the, you know.
Yeah.
Old man, my ass thing, right? Yeah. All right, so I'm going to say I recommend this to everybody. I'm going to say just go out and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great Saturday night film. Grab a bucket of popcorn and just enjoy. And the beautiful thing is you don't have to disengage your brain for it. You can have fun while even paying attention to it.
It doesn't patronize you. That's
what
I thought.
Very good.
Very different from other shoot 'em up. Like you, I want to be entertained, but I also, one, don't want to be treated like I'm a bozo and I can't follow things. And as you say, at the other time, you don't want to sort of think,
And there's no point in this film like in a Michael Bay film where you sit there and the action's finished and then they have the slow motion hero shot where they're walking towards the camera and you sit there and go, oh, really? Do we have to? There's no moment like that in this film. There's no moment where you groan and go, oh, did they have to go that far?
I really like the postcards.
Yes, I love the transitioning is really, really wonderful. All right, so I'm going to say recommended. Josh?
Absolutely. Just absolutely
thank you, James,
adored
from
this
Melbourne.
Film. Absolutely adore this film.
So much fun. I will buy it on Blu-ray when it comes out.
I really enjoyed it. I could see it again. I actually probably could see it again next week.
Yeah. I could do that
easily.
I
think there would be more nuances.
Yeah.
Yep.
I reckon there's enough performance work in this just to...
I could watch John Malkovich all day long.
And I will be buying that on Blu-ray.
Damn straight. All right, so what we're going to do now...
Because I don't own a Blu-ray.
Or DVD. All right, what we're going to do here is we're going to bring up our magic digital clock, 2:26 p.m. On the Saturday afternoon. And we're going to say we're going to go spoilers for 10 minutes. So if you are listening to the podcast, you'll be able to fast forward 10 minutes for the people who are listening to...
10 minutes? Do we really need 10 minutes?
All right, five.
Five minutes. 5 minutes. All right, 5 minutes of spoilers. It's 2:27. So starting from... Ooh. Yes?
No, I'm first.
Oh, he wants to go first. Okay. I'm first. So 2:27 starting. So remember, if you're listening to the audio podcast, just fast
just
forward.
In front doesn't mean it gets
just
first
fast back. Forward 5 minutes, and then after you've seen the film, you can come back and listen to us. If you're watching the live feed, just watch the clock. You can turn the sound down, and that way you can just rejoin us in
and
5 minutes.
And we won't be doing signing.
Yeah.
I'll be showing pictures and video clip. No, I'm joking.
We'll have a shadow puppetry.
All right. So here's the clock. Where is it? Yep. Here it is. Way there it is. Here's the clock. Okay. So. Should we wait till 2:28? No, 2:27? No. Okay, 2:27, 5 minutes from now. All right, spoilers. Josh, go.
Best shot in the entire film is where someone throws a grenade at the group and John Malkovich bats it back with a grenade launcher and blows the guy up.
Well, what I love is
the best scene. No, it was the back of a gun.
Yeah, back of it.
It's a grenade launcher.
From that little round. So Bruce Willis, it's actually the sequence of events in that sequence. Because Bruce Willis goes... Time to open the pig. They open the pig, pull out the grenade launcher. He turns around, pops one guy on top. The next guy throws a grenade. He throws the grenade launcher to John Malkovich. He goes, bang!
Because then when people blow up, they just go...
There's not even an arm
going up. Jaw stop. I've said jaws again.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's great. It's very clean.
Yeah, no, it's very clean. And
I think the episode title for this episode is going to be, I said jaws again. Anyway, go on.
John Malkovich's just general performance, the shot where he is in the hangar looking incredibly dejected because he thinks he's done something wrong, and he's standing like 2 meters back from everyone else, holding the pig by the tail beside him like some 3-year-old that's done wrong, is just so beautiful. And also all of the work he does with his face, where he's talking to people, but you can tell he's the kind of person that's never quite 100% with you in the conversation, where his eyes just kind of dart up at the top of his head like he's thinking about something else while talking to you. Just absolutely brilliant work, because those people exist in reality, and for him to actually bring that into a character is really good character work, which is why I'm saying he is an amazing actor.
But the last scene where he's taken out the other baddies and, you know, they make all their little speeches and he goes, can we have pancakes?
I have to say, the one thing that kind of made me a little bit sad, because I was enjoying him in the film, was the fact that they took out Morgan Freeman so early in the film. And I would like to have seen a little bit more of the Morgan Freeman character before they decided to off him, basically.
I loved his powder blue suit for the dictator.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Wonderful. And even, you know, these flashbacks that they use in these sort of films, it didn't even annoy me that we had the flashback that showed how he got out of... him being killed. You know, they thought he was dead.
You needed it.
No, I'm just saying I didn't mind it in this. Normally, that sort of thing where you sit and go, well, that's kind of derivative. Do we really need to see that? But in this, they established that they're going to be a little bit wacky with those transitions to start with. I mean, the one with the crocodiles.
Oh, I know. The stalker.
Yeah.
Another fantastic John Malkovich moment. Him sitting in the front of the van when you first see Morgan Freeman with the little tiny blood-tipped tissue up his nose, and just that really dejected look again.
And then the door opens and Morgan Freeman goes, he's still crazy.
I don't want to talk about it. But also, the look on John Malkovich's face when Bruce Willis is kissing the girl in the car, then it's like, you know, like he's an 11-year-old looking at people kissing. He's just horrified.
And also, again, another John Malkovich moment.
Can we guess by the sense that we all really enjoyed John Malkovich in the film?
It's the bit where he's sitting there with the goggles on, doing the whole speech. And like you said, it's amazing that he's always right in this film. Like every time he points something out, even though everybody says that he's crazy, he's always right. Right down to the point where he takes the number down on the
helicopter.
And like later on, he's like, it's the same helicopter, and no one believes him. And then they all get attacked. Exactly.
Now,
it's just
speaking
brilliant.
Of gunplay.
No, first off, when the baddies, the wet team, come in to kill Bruce Willis in his house, the fact that there's a lot of people walking with guns, no one comes out, no one calls the police.
I love the overkill of that scene. I love the overkill of that scene too. The fact that, you know, the three guys come in, he takes them out, he puts the bullets in the fry pan, starts it up, walks down, and as soon as the bullets go off, the house is riddled in bullets. I mean, we're talking about these guys walking in.
But also, the bullets just falling. Yeah,
they're just stepping on the, crunching on the bullet shells as they're going over.
But also, when you smash the floor with the sledgehammer, I thought, how thick is that concrete? You know,
not very, by the case. I've got 1 minute left. Josh?
Yeah, I would just like to say I'm sorry, but I completely counter that point by saying I'm sorry if I lived in a street and somebody started shooting up a house with like 10 guns.
I'd be on the floor.
I'm not going to walk out the front of the house.
The police.
No, fuck that. I don't want to be anywhere involved. Those guys have buckets of guns, which means that they've gone there and shot up a house with no thought about the repercussions of people showing up.
You know, Gladys Kravitz it, you know?
Hell no!
If all the windows are dark, we don't know how many of them were peeking out as well, though. I wouldn't turn on my lights.
If these people are smart enough to find somebody, riddle their house with bullets, and leave without any thought of actually being caught for this particular thing.
James from Melbourne.
I'm not going to be the one that called 911.
Josh, I got to counter that. James from Melbourne, somebody says, people would be out in their front lawns with their camera phones in seconds.
You're right, and that's a kick-ass moment, James from Melbourne. You are right.
Yeah, well, that's fine, but I'm not going to
be stupider and curiouser than you allow for.
I disagree entirely.
And spoilers are over.
I thought you had a lead-in for spoilers like police tape. Remember?
No, we actually been talking about that. With the whole new format of the show, we need themes and bumpers, and we haven't actually done any of that. Well,
I'm not being critical.
Yes, you are. You hate my show.
I love your show.
Even on Raw DLC, we have a 5 minute counter. It comes up on the top,
and he can point to it. He's not apraxic. He knows where to point to his own clock.
Yeah, I don't have a stopwatch, but I have a clock. All right, spoilers are over. That is our review for Red. I think we can all safely say that we loved Red.
That's a big tick.
Yep.
That's a big tick. And you know what? We've actually had, I think, was it 2 weeks in a row now where we've actually really liked the film. So
good.
It's got to be a first for us.
Can we do a top five? Top five.
Not yet. Top five comes after the buzz. After the buzz. All right, now.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz?
Okay, old people.
Oh!
All right, now. Spider-Man casting. Oh. Spider-Man casting.
Sorry.
We all know that Mark Webb is doing this new reboot of Spider-Man, which I think is a really, really, really bad idea to start with. But we all know that Andrew Garfield was cast as Spider-Man. We all know that Emma Stone has been cast as Gwen Stacy. Rhys Ifans has been cast as the main villain, which we believe to be the Lizard. Now we know who Uncle Ben and Aunt May are. And I got to tell you...
Why did the other woman die?
It's been rebooting it. They're starting all over again.
What?
Because the other Ben's dead.
Spider-Man's been completely rebooted. It's gone back to high school.
Annoying.
Keep up.
I'm sorry.
Sam Raimi left, and Sony has decided to reboot the entire series. And they've gone back to high school, and it's completely recast. And the whole thing, the original films don't exist. Start again. Anyway, what would you say if I said that Uncle Ben is going to be Martin Sheen and Aunt May is going to be Sally Field?
I'd feel a little bit nauseated.
I would too. I don't mind Martin Sheen, but Sally Field? I like Sally Field.
Yeah, I like her too, but isn't she in that stupid Brothers and Sisters?
Yeah, but not only that, I like Sally Field, but she's no Aunt May.
Aunt May's got to have a bun. Come on. And grey hair.
And withered. Aunt May is like really old in the comic books. If you're going to go back and redo this, go all the way back, you know?
But maybe that's the whole thing. Maybe because it's going back to high school, maybe she's not as old.
No, she
as
wasn't
well.
That much younger. She's the aunt. Like,
she was always ancient. Aunt May was just ancient.
You know what? It's a reboot. Who cares? It's going to suck either way.
I can't get my head around Martin Sheen. I mean, he always sort of slightly creeps me out ever since that little girl who lived down the lane.
That was a long time ago.
I know. Wow. I've got a long memory.
Wow, that was a long time ago. Actually, he was kind of creepy.
A pedophile.
He was kind of creepy in Badlands as well. Do you remember Badlands?
Yeah. Do you know I watched Apocalypse Now in total the other day for the very first time.
The redo or the old version?
The redo.
Redo's really good. So is the old version, but the redo's really good. I love Apocalypse Now. We are so derailed on this show.
What?
All right.
Task, Josh. Gee, I'm on the money.
Yeah, no.
Let's see if we can wake Josh up. Here's the Sucker Punch trailer.
Oh, good.
I lost everyone I've ever loved. Then they locked me away. With nowhere to hide from the pain.
Yeah. out. I'm gonna escape from here.
There's armed guards everywhere. And if Blue finds out, we're dead.
We're already dead.
You're afraid. Don't be. To reach your own paradise, just let go. What you're imagining right now, you control this world.
What are you looking for?
A way out.
I'm going to help you to be free. You will need to find 5 items. The first is a map. Then fire. Then a knife. And a key. The 5th thing is a mystery. Begin your journey. It will set you free.
He knows what we're doing.
It's the only way we can get out of here.
If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
All right. Oh, Josh, tell me.
I'm sorry, guys, and I know that probably most of the people in the chat room are going to hate me for this, but after seeing that second trailer, I fucking really don't care about this film. I actually think that looks fucking so stupid. Like, I like video games, right? And I like playing video games. Movies that are video games. I'm sorry, guys, but if you haven't followed the thing, they don't translate well. And that just looks fucking stupid. Like,
isn't there one example of a one that was good?
No.
It's like a Mike Pirates of the Caribbean.
Resident Evil, kind of. But,
fun,
you know,
park game.
First,
yeah,
right? But again, like I said in that review that I did for the 4th one, man, the only reason that works is because it's got no connection
That's
to the
true.
Game.
What do you think of this?
Yeah,
I
like,
think
I reckon
it looks
it's just
ridiculous.
Be...
I think they haven't
think...
missed a cliche.
Absolutely.
No. I want to point out, I am Arseface in the chat room has said, Josh, but the whole point of this film is hot chicks. I don't give a fuck. Porn is available all over the net.
But it's not about porn. No, it's not about porn. It is about geek fantasy wet dream
but
is what it is.
But that isn't to me. That's just a whole bunch
oh,
of...
Oh, come on.
You,
hot
no,
chicks
dude,
in thigh boots with phallic symbol swords fighting dragons and robots
yes,
and everything else.
Yes, with incredibly bad acting, over the top.
We can't tell they're acting.
Effects.
All we can see is clips.
No, there's very long fake eyelashes.
And very long fake eyelashes and jumping off rooftops and smashing bricks and everything else. It is Zack Snyder sitting behind his desk going, all right, I'm directing the scene. She's in her thigh boots. Oh, it's out of dragon. You know, it's like...
That's disgusting, and don't you ever do
but
that
But that's
again.
What he's doing. This is
I
a
don't
Zack
give a
Snyder,
shit.
This is Zack Snyder,
dumb.
Director of The Watchmen.
It looks really
and he is having
stupid.
His absolute wet dream out
he's
there.
Got,
Did
he's
he
got
The Watchmen?
A couple,
yeah.
He's got a couple of movies under his belt. They've given him a thing, and now they're giving him full reign, and all I'm going to get is a giant movie that makes fuck all sense with special effects, and everyone's going to love it because it has chicks, guns, and fighting in it.
Fucking up!
It doesn't make a film good.
You're right. I agree with you.
Twilight for geeks. Fucking well put, man. I'm sorry, but this film takes the line too far. I'm only saying that based on the trailer I've seen. I'm still going to see it, but I am not excited for this film at all from watching that trailer. I sat there the entire time during that going, this looks dumb. This is the reason people don't take geeks seriously. It's films like
no,
this.
No, he's totally right. This movie is going to drop your IQ by a couple of
exactly.
points.
Exactly.
And you won't care about any
all
of the characters.
All those Twilight fans that look at you and go, you're wrong because Twilight isn't that bad. You guys are just proving it by liking a film
right,
like
we're
this.
We're going to wait and see because I think it actually looks kind of cool. Yeah. I think it looks
anyway.
Kind of fun. But yeah. I don't think it's one that's going to raise our IQs in any way, but I think it looks fun.
No, but I want to see... I love special effects. I adore them. Yeah. But I want to be, like you, the whole entertain me now... And I want to be involved. I want to give a shit whether that one gets cut up or not.
Exactly.
Or blown up.
And I just think that this film's plotline is just going
to
get lost in a sea of
yeah,
special
I got,
effects
I have
and
to
high
say,
boots
though, I have
and
to say, though,
small
that
skirts.
The trailer for 300...
I liked the trailer for 300.
See, I think the trailer for 300 sucked, quite frankly. Yeah. And I hated the trailer for 300. And when I saw the trailer, I went, oh, this film is going to suck.
But at now, that I stage, actually at really that stage, I had the read film. The comic, so...
No, I thought the film was had painful.
You? Oh, see, I liked the film. See, I hadn't read the comic, no.
Exactly, which is the difference. I knew the but story,
going,
so...
But going on a trailer, just going on a trailer for a film that's coming up, I watched a trailer for 300 and I just went, this looks awful.
But what about the trailer for Watchmen?
I liked the trailer for Watchmen.
Because so there you go.
You knew the comic.
But I liked Watchmen. So, you know.
But you knew that, yeah, you had a backstory.
That's right.
I've been reading up on this film, and it's just the more I read, the less the plotline is a part of the actual film.
I have to see the film. I got to see it, and we'll make a judgment when the film comes out. Okay. Boy, that was a lot more heated than I thought it was going to get over a trailer. By the way, the trailer for those, because we kind of went straight into it so fast, it's Sucker Punch by Zack Snyder. Now, another Tron clip has turned up, speaking of special effects. Last week we showed that clip of the off-road where Korra was driving Flynn's son to see Flynn. Mm-hmm. Well, there's the second half of that clip now, which is him meeting his father. So here's another clip. These little clips, Disney is just kind of leaking these clips onto the internet. So here's another little clip from Tron Legacy.
We have a guest.
Sam, long time. You have no idea. You're here. You're here. I'm here.
Clue had him on the light cycle grid. I intervened.
Dinner soon. We'll talk then.
He never thought he'd see you again.
So there you go. There's another little clip from Tron. So we're getting spoon-fed all these little clips.
Those clips, both, like, none of them yet have made me go, like, none of the clips.
I want to see the light cycles.
Exactly. Well, none of the
put me on the grid.
None of the clips that I've seen, are very, massively exciting. I always see these little clips and I'm like, that looks like the bits in between, Delta Knight has said, all there for seeing.
Delta Knight has said, really, the environment doesn't look like the grid at all. It's not like the original did. They actually explain that, and I'm hoping they explain it in the film, but if you read the prequel comics, once again, because we started reading the prequel comics, they actually explain why it doesn't look like the original grid. This is actually a different grid. Flynn rewrote the environment, and he transferred the occupants, basically, to the new grid. Yeah. So this is Flynn's creation. It's not the old MCP's creation. So, and we speculated this on the show a while ago, which was, it's like technology has gotten more modern, graphics have gotten better, so the grid has gotten better along with it. And this is like Flynn's little experiment that he's doing. And why he's locked away there is also kind of hinted at in the prequel comics as well. So,
Wealthy 179 is saying, if you had the, you know, why they're showing a moment, which would be exciting if you had the lead up to the moment. I think they don't want to shoot their bolt. If everybody like Dave is hanging on for the cycle scene, they're not going to show that.
No. Well, this is a question, though. You know,
has $19 to come and show it.
Yeah. Well, the 20 minutes of footage, what did that cover?
Well, like, your sister saw.
My sister went. She said there was a lot of the backstory stuff. There was a couple of scenes that were very geeky fantasy thing of these robot girls taking off his clothes and putting on his little...
Which we saw in the Daft Punk.
The whole thing is that it's all the in-between bits and
all that.
You
remember the earlier trailers where he's going into the amusement park and pulling the thing off and then goes through the little door of magicness?
Numero Zero saying, I'm sorry, Delta Knight saying, where can I get the comics from? Go to comic book stores. Only issue one. It's a two-part miniseries that is the lead-up to Tron. Issue one. Issue two hasn't come out yet.
Yeah.
So I've read issue one. I'm waiting for issue two.
Yeah.
So you can find it around. It's just called Tron the Betrayal.
Yeah.
Is the name of the prequel comics.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that they aren't relying wholly on those comics.
Delta Knight wants to get them on her iPad.
Well, I don't know if they're available yet. I don't know.
Delta Knight's a guy, by the way.
Sorry, Delta.
On your iPad, you could try Comixology. They might have it for sale. I'm not sure. I haven't looked. Have a look. See what you think, see what you can find out. All right, let's move on because we are starting to run a little over, and we have to get to our list of five. John Carpenter. Let's talk about John Carpenter for a minute. Now, John Carpenter is one of my favorite directors of all time, and he really hasn't performed very well in the last few years. And in fact, he kind of went into semi-retirement a few years ago after Ghosts of Mars. Probably a good move because Ghosts of Mars wasn't very good. He did come out of semi-retirement to do a couple of episodes of Masters of Horror, and Josh and I have talked about this before. His episode Cigarette Burns is phenomenal.
The best thing he's done in years.
And he has now seemingly come out of retirement because he's just finished directing a new horror film called The Ward, which is going to be coming out soon, and he has just signed on to direct a new film called Dark Child. Now, Dark Child is a comic book from the 80s. 80s or 90s, basically about a girl who transforms into, like, these demons. And I've got the comic books, and I'm not a huge fan. She's a teenager. She's gorgeous. She's gorgeous. She's blonde, and then she turns into monsters. And, of course, a lot of the comic books were, like, you know, her dressed very skimpily and, you know, stuff like that. It was all very geek fantasy.
Suggestive.
However, suggestive. And when I found out that John Carpenter was set to possibly direct Dark Child, I don't think the final ink is dry yet, but he is pondering it. Then this curious little video turned up, and this is some test footage that was released because apparently Weta is doing the special effects for it. And they went out on their own bat, and this is abridged. If you want to see the whole video, the link is in the show notes. But this just shows you what they did. This is Richard Taylor got together with the creator, and they shot some test footage to see if they could actually make it work.
Yeah.
And I guess this is what convinced people that Dark Child would actually make a film. So here you go. This is in this test footage, what you'll see, I've abridged it down. What you'll see is the original panels, they're comic book panels that have been storyboarded, and then the footage that they shot for it.
Awesome.
So have a look at this. Let's roll it.
Cool.
So there's that test footage. Now, once again, this is not final renders and it's not final footage. This isn't the John Carpenter footage, obviously. Mm-hmm. This is just Richard Taylor in the studio base. And that forest is probably something from The Hobbit, for all we know. Mm-hmm. But this is what they knocked together. And I think they literally said they knocked it together in a couple of days just to see if they could actually make it work.
Well, you can tell they haven't done much. Like,
there's not a lot of texture mapping.
As a fan of 3D, it's like you can tell the wings are very kind of one-dimensional.
But all I can say is Weta is amazing because if that's their test footage, the final footage is going to be amazing.
Exactly. Well, I mean, that's the great thing about Weta. It's like you see that and you just look at it and you go, yeah, that's just going to look awesome when it's done. So,
well, she better learn to act. I mean, this
that's not the actress. She works at Weta.
Oh, thank God.
No, that's not the actress. That's just a girl who works at Weta.
Yeah.
So
work that out one more time, lady.
I imagine, though, you know, wings coming out of your back and your hand turning into spikes would probably hurt.
Doing that, rocking backwards and forwards, it was, you know, I'm sorry.
But as I say, she's probably a technician who works at Weta. So
well, could be shock, you know. It's a rocking motion.
Rocking action.
Yeah,
maybe.
Moving into a shock state.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
However,
I just like to try and give her the medical version of what I
Thank you, and I appreciate your medical. Thank you, Dr. Josh.
That's okay.
You're welcome, Dr. Katrina. long and the short of that story, though, is that if Carpenter directs this film, I'm so there.
You're so cute.
So, I'm really hanging out to see the Ward. But speaking of other directors that I quite like, and we actually did talk about this guy a little bit earlier, and so I think maybe I should redeem myself a little bit by giving him a pat on the back. This is Kevin Smith. For those, we talked about Cop Out and said don't bother with Cop Out. His new film. I love Kevin Smith. His new film is Red State, and it's a thriller, which is a kind of a move in an interesting direction for him, because he usually does kind of broad comedies. But this is a film that he has completely independently organized. So he's not working within the studio system anymore. He got independent financing. It's like $5 million. I shot it in 21 days. It's shot. It's in the can. It's ready to go. But more so, more than even in the can, he was so keen on this production that he was actually editing it the nights while he was shooting it. So he would go shoot during the day, go home, edit, and to the point where at the wrap party, he showed the completed final film to the actors.
And had a psychotic breakdown because he'd had sleep deprivation.
I imagine he would have pressed play and fell asleep. He's like, I've seen this a billion times.
I think it is actually the first time I've ever heard of somebody being able to deliver a final film at the wrap party.
No, first time ever, yeah.
Yeah, so it's an amazing effort, and I say good on you, and I cannot wait to see this film. Now, he does actually say, and what's going to make this film very interesting, is I was listening to one of his podcasts, and if you haven't listened to Kevin Smith podcasts, they are funny shit, all right? He is a funny guy, and he is taking podcasting to a whole new level. He bought himself a theater, and he calls it the Smod Castle, and he charges admission, and basically all of his podcasts, he does a podcast every single night. The 7 podcasts, one a night, and they're all live in front of an audience. You buy tickets, and you can go to the Smod Castle and watch his podcast. He's not in all of his podcasts. He's in most of them, though, and he has different guest stars, and they do different shows.
That's awesome, man.
And it's awesome. It's brilliant. And he does the Smod Castle podcasts, and, you know, they record the podcast live. The podcasts are free, but if you want to go live, you pay for a ticket, you know? Wow. And he was actually talking on Hollywood Babylon. I was listening the other day to the latest episode, and he was actually saying, he talked about this event, and he said that it was just a joy. He said this show is the first time he's ever edited stoned. So he said he'd go home, he'd, you know, he'd blaze up after shooting the film and he'd edit while, you know, stoned out of his mind. And I think, and he said it was such an enjoyable experience.
Well, there you go. It'll be interesting to see.
I can't wait to see this film.
I will be interested to see if it makes any sense at all.
Yeah.
Because it makes sense in his head.
Yeah, exactly.
But, like, so, dude, there are people involved in this. So I imagine that if it was that bad, it would get.
I don't think it's going to be bad. I think Kevin Smith lives his entire life in a
mind-numbed
state. Yeah. So I think
an altered perception.
And I tell you what, his podcasts are hysterical. He keeps going. He's great. All right, we're going to move into our list of five. Now this week, our list of five is going to stick with the theme of our main review, which is of course spy films. So we're going to do our list of five, which is 5 notable spy films. Interpret this any way you wish. And we will start with our guest of honor, Katrina.
Oh, you're kind.
So what is your number 5?
The Lady Vanishes, Alfred Hitchcock.
Oh, very good. Very good. She's gone really old school.
Yeah, I am. I'm sorry.
It's nothing. Don't be sorry about that. Don't be sorry. That's fantastic.
Josh, you're number 5.
My number 5 is a relatively stock standard one, but there are a few of those on my list. I have GoldenEye, James Bond GoldenEye, as my number 5. It's
I love
a spy
GoldenEye.
Film. I still think it's one of the best ones that they did, and it has that whole spy feeling because it kind of has them going all over the place doing all sorts of things, double crosses, betrayal.
And Sam King had very firm thighs.
Yeah, she was one of the better.
She was
Bond
a good baddie.
Mm-hmm. She was, yeah.
That level of crazy and violence.
That's the first time I ever saw Famke Janssen.
Yes.
Yeah,
she was great in that. And you had Sean Bean doing what he does well, which is betray people.
Yeah.
he was great in it.
Now, James from Melbourne apparently wants to get involved.
All right. Well, there we go.
So James from Melbourne says his number 5 is Cloak and Dagger. That's a 1980s Dabney Coleman film.
Cool. Now, remember, if we're going to do this right, James from Melbourne, you can't throw up your 4 until
we've come back around to you. That's right.
Back
wait
past
for your turn,
Katrina.
James.
That's right.
Okay?
So wait your
so
turn.
Four, anyone can get on this, but if you want to drop a 5, drop it now, and then 4 comes.
That's right. And Cloak and Dagger, by the way. No, you're right on time.
No, you're totally
right on time.
Just don't do 4 yet.
Don't do 4 yet. Cloak and Dagger, by the way, is in my honorary mentions, so very good.
There we go.
Okay. My number 5 is 1975 Sidney Pollack film, 3 Days of the Condor.
Oh, yes.
With Robert Redford. Great film. Lots of espionage going on there. I've kind of gone for an espionage bent, and I also want to say that I actually threw myself...
Mine goes all over the place.
Yeah, well, so mine kind of does too, because it's espionage, not necessarily spy. But we'll come back to that.
Well, that opens the door to industrial espionage.
But I will say that I also set myself a rule. That you don't have to follow this rule. Mm. I always set myself little rules. Mm. I actually chose that James Bond was off limits.
That's what he told me. That's why I didn't close it. And then you started with a James Bond. You said don't do James Bond.
No, I said don't use those two because I've got them on my list.
No, I actually.
I thought you said don't do James Bond at all.
I actually, absolutely. But I put because I thought that's too easy.
No, so, because there's so many bad ones as well.
I
think that was one of the strongest.
No. You can use James Bond.
I thought that was one of the strongest ones. Yeah. And do you know my favourite scene out of that?
Yeah.
Is when they're in the bit at the end in Goldeneye. And he's being shot at and he's reloading and something goes ping off the thing and he just turns his head just that little bit to keep going. It was that. Yeah. We're back to professionals.
You can absolutely use James Bond. I said this is personal. Yeah. This is a personal limitation. Cool. I said no James Bond for me.
Well, I took his rule.
Okay, Katrina, you're number four.
Spy Kids 1.
Oh, I love Spy Kids.
Not 2. 1.
No, not 2. Not 3. Ooh, not 3.
Right.
Did you know they're making it 4?
Yes, I did. I'm a bit disturbed with that. Austin Powers, Spy Who Shagged Me from
Callison. Callison said Austin Powers, Spy Who Shagged Me. And first thing Katie said to me, my lovely wife Katie, when I said this 5 spy film, she said, who's the guy who goes, yeah, baby?
But the first one I think was the best of the Austin
Powers. Yes, I like Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery.
Yes.
Okay, Joshua, number 4.
My number 4 is hit my lists before, Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
Yes!
Which is a fantastic...
Twice.
That's
we have a rule that if it gets mentioned 5 times in a list, it goes into the vault. We can't use it on the list anymore.
Because
we've got this vault list that we're working on because it's basically these are films that are so good that it's just becomes kind of pointless after a while. We know they're great.
Yeah, they don't have to be listed
anymore. I bet.
Yeah.
Jaws the Revenge isn't in that vault.
No, it's on the Gloriously Wonderful Battle List. That's a whole different list. That's a whole different list. All right, so that's twice for that film. All right, yes.
Like 4 times from her with the Jaws Revenge. I think that one's going to get locked up real soon.
All right, hold on. Now we come to you. So we go to the chat room and we say, now, James from Melbourne, this would be your term for number 4. While you're thinking about that, I'll go to my number 4. I'm going to say Michael Apted's 2001 film, Enigma. The one about the Codebreakers.
Yeah. Yes.
That was love all right.
I love that film.
Right. Very good.
Yeah.
But I'm a big Kate Winslet fan. So I got a thing for her.
She's fond of you too.
Okay, so 4 is Spies Like Us from James from Melbourne.
And my lovely wife, Katie. She said... She goes,
is that the Robin Williams?
No, that's Chevy Chase and Dan Aykroyd. Yeah. She actually said, I quote my wife, and I love you, dear. I quote my wife, Spies Like Us, that's a spy movie, isn't it? Yeah. All right. Katrina, number 3.
The Third Man.
Oh, gone old school again.
I'm sorry, black and white.
Yes. Mm. Good film, though. Great film.
Yeah.
Great film. Oh, man. I was thinking about going old school, and I thought, no, I'm kidding you.
Oh, I'm a mixture.
Okay, Josh, you're number 3?
My number 3 is North by Northwest.
Oh, one of my favorite films of all time. And also, Katie said, the first film she actually said when I said we were doing Spider-Man, she goes, North by Northwest. And I went, yes, great. And I did what I did.
And Cary Grant can run away in a suit smoothly and suavely.
And never gets a hair out of place.
No. He can do anything.
He can do anything.
That man is the Swiss Army.
Such a top
And I'd like to point out that after he says that, and after Katie said it, I forgot to put it on the goddamn
list. That guy, Cary Grant, is like the Swiss Army knife of actors. I'm
and
sorry.
I just love James just Mason awesome. In that
There's Callisynth.
Callisynth number 4 says, Get Smart movie.
Yeah, all right, no.
No, bad Callisynth, bad.
Callisynth, you're allowed to say that if you like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you're welcome. Okay, now going to say my number 3. My number 3 is James Cameron's 1994 spy film, True Lies.
Yes.
That's spies, that's terrorism. He's a spy, he's a killer.
What's going to happen? We're going to be tortured and then we're going to die. Is that the truth? Yeah.
I love that film. I love True Lies. Just such a good film. Okay.
Number 3 from James from Melbourne is Spy Game.
And you know what? It was so funny. All these films come up.
Yeah.
I actually said to Katie in the car when we were talking about this, and she was, you know, Spies Like Us, a spy film. We're sitting there talking, and I actually said, you know, I probably have an absolutely perfect film here because there was that film Spy Game that came out.
Yeah.
I said, the problem is I haven't seen it.
I've never seen it.
Wow.
Who's in it?
It's got Brad Pitt and it's Robert Redford.
Yeah.
I've never seen it. And I don't mean that with any insult. Redford is brilliant. He's really good in that film. It didn't make my list because it didn't stay with me. It was a popcorn.
I have to watch this movie.
It went in and it went out. Okay. But yes, Redford was great in it.
I have to watch this movie.
Yeah.
Okay. Katrina, number two.
The Long Kiss Goodnight.
That was also one of Katie's suggestions as well. Yes. You and Katie are really
almost,
on the same.
Almost put that on my list as well.
I've got to be careful because I could vault that if I'm not careful because it meets so many other genres.
It does, it does. Mm. That's a good film. That's a great film. I didn't actually use it on my list, but it's a great film.
Yeah.
Number two, Josh?
Reinvention of Bond, Casino Royale.
So James Craig the purser?
What? Yeah. As the purser doing the James Bond thing,
he actually
the same way Ian Fleming
would
have wanted it
You're right.
to be.
That's because the story was so thin, he had to do something.
And that's the thing. That's the key. When they're not as interested in the projects is when they start pursing. Because Bruce Willis did not purse very much in Die Hard, but he purses a lot in Die Hard 2.
You are so right.
You know?
Yeah. He purses less in Die Hard 3, but more in Die Hard 4.
That's true. But actually, I can forgive him of Die Hard 4 because I actually quite like Die Hard 4.
Anyway.
Die Hard 4 had Kevin Smith in it.
Absolutely, as the wizard.
Die Hard 4 was awesome.
It was.
I'm sorry. I don't care what anybody says.
Live Free or Die Hard.
Was he there? I didn't get that title, so yeah. Sorry. I just got Die Hard 4.0.
See, I've got the American version. It's Live Free or Die Hard.
I liked it because Justin Long actually acted a bit.
Yeah.
Not a lot, but a bit.
I'm still trying to find out what the backstory is because Kevin Smith in one of his latest podcasts was actually talking about the Die Hard films and he says that he actually can't watch them anymore. There is something between him and Bruce Willis and it's got to have happened during Cop Out because he kind of really talks badly about Bruce Willis now and I still haven't heard the story as to why.
Ooh,
so there is
intriguing.
Something has happened during Cop Out. He doesn't like Bruce Willis very much.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
So I think he didn't have a very good experience with Cop Out, which would probably explain the film. All right, James from Melbourne, your number two is required at some time. My number two, while we're waiting for him, is, and once again, we're going to go two. My number two is going to be Mission Impossible, the Brian De Palma 1996 film.
The original
Mission Impossible.
Well, let's hold off what you think about that film for a minute.
I'll hold off what I'm thinking, but I'm saying that's twice it's been mentioned on the list now because you mentioned it a few weeks back. So
James from Melbourne's got Where Eagles Dare.
Well, that's actually pretty good.
Is that the World War II job?
Yeah. That's a good
and
film.
What's Callan's since number two?
He hasn't given us a number two yet. Okay. We'll come back to him. So I'll hold off what I got to say about that. But yeah, that's twice it's been brought up on a list now. So that's two. It's going to get vaulted really quickly, I think. Number two for you, Miss? No, you're number one.
No Way Out, Kevin Costner. I thank you.
That's the one with the Phil Collins song.
I can't help that.
I love the way that came out. That's not my fault.
Who is Yuri?
I actually did like that film.
That was a butler. Forget the stupid sex in the limousine scene.
No, I can't forget that. I'm sorry.
With Sean Young.
I thought, in the day, I thought Sean Young was actually quite a hottie. So I can't
she's
forget
good,
that.
She's good, but she's as mad as a hatter.
She is now. But back then, we would forgive her a lot because she was
in
Blade Runner.
I loved Blade Runner. I thought she was absolutely
and she was And she was hot in Stripes.
Yes, that's true.
Having sex with Harold Ramis.
That's true. I personally believe, from viewing several of his films, that Kevin Costner probably is quite a good kisser. Put that on the back burner. The storyline and suspense of No Way Out is very good.
I'm going to say something controversial. I'm going to say I actually think Kevin Costner can act.
When
properly motivated.
When properly motivated. When properly cattle prodded, he can actually act.
I liked him in Mr. Brooks.
I was going to say, Mr. Brooks, he got great.
Is that where he's the killer?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
But see, I thought he was terrific in JFK. I thought he did a really good job.
I love JFK, except Oliver Stone's shooting style gave me a migraine.
but I also quite liked him in Dances with Wolves. I think when properly motivated, put a cattle prod up his ass, I think Kevin Costner can actually act. He's fantastic. There's an early Kevin Reynolds film called Fandango.
I was about to say Fandango. Get
terrific.
Out of my brain.
Fandango is great. And Josh has probably never heard of it.
No.
It's the 80s, dude. It's a very interesting coming-of-age movie.
Yeah.
And not in the sense of teenagers. It's people leaving their 20s and looking back and having regret.
Yeah, no, regret. It's a terrific film.
I was about to say Fandango. Amazing.
Great film. All right, your number one, Josh.
My number one is Mission Impossible.
Dun, 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 dun,
Supporting
okay.
you.
No, absolutely.
I'm right there with you, Josh.
I know. I know, so you're number two.
Actually, I was talking about that at work the other day. I said, oh, someone was going to do something and then go.
Yeah, no.
The old mask. It's, the old latex. It's the latex allergy.
That film has so many things that it. You know what? That film makes me feel like John Malkovich in Red. It's like just the whole time I'm like, everyone's going to pull their masks off and no one's real.
I thought it was such a clever film. I remember seeing that back in 1996.
Are we talking Tom Cruise one?
Tom Cruise, the original Mission Impossible, not the series, the first Mission Impossible movie, the one that De Palma directed, not the John Woo abortion, not the J.J. Abrams better effort, but... the original De Palma film from 1996.
The one that was actually a spy film.
Is a little paramedic of TV and film, I've decided. Yeah. When things are a little bit sick, they send in J.J. Abrams.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought,
I love that.
Yeah, I think it's great. That. And I think Mission Impossible 3 was really good. I really enjoyed Mission Impossible 3, but Mission Impossible 1 is still the better film.
Absolutely.
I think Mission Impossible
but
1
Mission
is
Impossible
just fantastic.
1 is also a spy film. The
it's
other
a spy film, and it fits our topic so perfectly today because it's a team.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly.
Wasn't Kristen Thomas good? And when she got stabbed, I felt sad.
Yes.
Yep, you can do it now, James.
Okay, now, Kelly Smith's got number 2, James Bond, Goldfinger.
Yes.
Goldfinger.
James says number 1, Face Off. Is Face Off really a spy film?
Well, yeah, it
well,
is.
Well, he's pretending.
He
was
a CIA.
He's pretending.
Oh,
he's
CIA.
He
was
that's
switching
right. okay,
with
yeah,
the thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean,
was
it's more of an action
CIA?
film, but you know
FBI
what? I'll give
it
that.
He's FBI, but still, you know, whatever. Yeah, okay. Now, Cal Cynthia, number 1 can be fired off at any time here. My number 1, I'm going to say, is actually not, this is where I say it gets a little bit messy because it's not technically spies, but it is espionage. I'm going to say, and this is once again, the second time it's been mentioned on a list, so we've got a few heading into the vault, is Sneakers, Phil Alden Robinson's 1992 film.
I almost put that on, but I don't want that one vaulted because I just love that film too much.
I love it, and I think it's great. It's all about industrial espionage.
Sneakers.
It's the one with Robert Redford, Sydney Poitier.
Oh, I liked that one.
Yes, yeah, great film. About the fact
Sydney
that they
Poitier
test security
awesome.
Systems.
Do you know what it was? It was almost harks to like an inspiration for the rejig of the Ocean's 11 movies.
Yeah.
That's sitting around in a warehouse doing the plotty planning.
Exactly,
thing.
And it had that kind of witty banter backwards and forwards dialogue and
I
stuff like that. It was,
And Callicent says number 1, Burn After Reading.
Yeah.
Which
and
I love as well.
Delta Knight said Swordfish.
But he says joking.
No.
Was... Northerly 179 says only joking.
Oh, okay.
I like
oh, no, he's a triple X only joking.
Oh, right.
Triple X only joking.
I think triple X 2.
I kid.
The schmo says Firefox. That's an interesting choice. I haven't seen Firefox in years.
Is that Clint Eastwood?
Stealing the plane. Yeah. You got to think in Russian.
That was crazy. That film was awesome.
That was a lot of fun. I remember seeing that at the cinema when I was in high school.
Chat room, that is a bloody brilliant list. That's good, isn't it?
That's good stuff. You guys,
these
freaking
guys.
Looney Tunes back in action. Back off. That's it. That's getting removed.
All right, enough. All right, I got some honorary mentions I'm going to throw out there. Things that almost made my list, but for some reason or another didn't. Enemy of the State with Will Smith.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. Hopscotch. Now, you guys have probably never seen Hopscotch. Walter Matthau. Basically, he's a retiring CIA agent, and he's trying to get out of the spy game, but they won't let him, but he outwits everybody. It's comedy, but it's really clever. I put the Bourne series, all of them.
Ass Faces put them in there as well.
Yeah, the Bourne series. I mean, it's too hard to put it on the list.
It's a chat room name.
Yes, that's fine. I just thought, oh, you're a bit harsh there, calling him that. Yes, I agree, the Bourne films.
And I would also say that I really enjoyed... And the reason it doesn't make the list is because I still stand by the fact that I hated the last 5 minutes. I hated the ending. But I really enjoyed the film other than that, which was Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
I hated the whole film.
I love that film. I didn't like the ending. Hated the ending. Ending killed it for me.
It was fucking awful.
I enjoyed that film. I enjoyed their banter. I enjoyed their fighting with each other. Especially because she was in her underwear. You know, but you know.
Only was when she was doing the whole vulnerable, love you, hate you stuff, like shoot me, and he goes no, and she's tearing up. She was bothering to act, but he was busy. Like, are you sort of like on time off from Ocean's 11 and you're walking around smirking? Fuck. It was awful.
Okay. Well, that brings us to an end, guys.
James from Melbourne, I agree. That man with the hand cam buggered all those good fight scenes in the second and third Bourne film. He should have been given a Chinese burn on the arm.
I actually think Bourne 2 really was the film that gave birth to that, and everybody else has tried to abuse it so much since then.
It was abused in the second
one.
You needed a stematol before you started watching it.
I think that Winterbottom, that's not what I want to say, is it? Who's the director? Not Winterbottom.
No, you're right.
It's the other one. It's the other one. I always get them mixed up. Anyway, I think he had...
No.
What the hell? My brain is fused.
Yeah, I'm on it.
My brain is fused. Give me a name. It's not green my Lyman direct. Green, yes. Greengrass. Greengrass. Thank
green
you.
Greengrass, yeah.
I think Lyman, Doug Lyman directed a much better Bourne film. I think the first Bourne film was still my favorite.
It's Tight as a Drum.
Tight as a Drum. I think that when Wintergrass, is that what I want to say?
Greengrass.
Greengrass, thank you. See, even his name doesn't stick in my head. I think Greengrass kind of
read.
Kind of redefined the Bourne films with that style, and then I think it went too far in the third one.
Yeah,
I think in the third one he lost complete control.
But second one, what I think is one of the best features of the Bourne film is that, and I won't be boring and go on, was that the fight scenes were so bloody clever. His improvisation, I'm going to kill you with a pen, right? It'll be a bar, right? Because we're in France, right? Le bureau. le bic.
In the second one, he had to do a book.
The second one, there were shower curtains, there was jumping between the little balconies in Morocco, wherever the hell he was. But he never, the time and effort in the brilliant choreography, that's what I think is one of the best things about these Bourne films, of the fight scenes, was rooted because the camera's going, hello, I've got the Oliver Stones, and that was wasted.
Okay.
I think it's a lot tighter. He's got worse. He's kind of done a Michael Mann and basically taken a concept
maybe
he likes.
Maybe he's got a middle ear thing. Maybe he's treatment.
maybe he's got like eye tremors or something he actually thinks
and
it's
straight. And nystagmus.
Yeah. He's just looking at it going, I don't know what you're talking about. It looks fine to me. Moving along.
On that note, if you agree or disagree with anything we have to say on film, which is probably a shitload, you are welcome to send your feedback to feedback@geekactually.com or drop us a voicemail at 02-801-13167. Or if you're a cheap ass and don't want to spend for a phone call, you can send us a Skype message and we'll put you on the list. And that way you can Skype for free. And our Skype ID is Geek Actually. Okay, so you can do it that way as well. We also have all sorts of new t-shirts and all that other wonderful stuff that you can find at cafepress.com.au Geek Actually. That's a / Geek Actually even. We have a fan page, facebook.com/ Geek Actually. And we also have two other shows that you can also check out at any time. We have our wonderful tech show, Tech Actually, which is before the show for the live feed. And we have our other wonderful show, which is The After Show, which you can find Geek Actually, which you can find after this show on the live feed, all of which are available on iTunes. All you have to do is search for their respective names. Or you can go back to geekactually.com and find all the past episodes of everything. It's all there. Everything.
Everything.
Everything, including the video shows that we've done. Go to geekactually.com. What's that address again, Katrina?
No,
you don't even need that.
Geekactually.com.
There you go. You can put the www's if you want to. That's kind of old school. You don't have to.
It is.
And now we also have like friends of our site that we have to throw out there. And I'm going to say that our first friend that we're going to mention, of course, are our two podcasting buddies. We've got the Real Junkies, which, if you know. Not even first anymore. What?
Nothing, don't worry.
No, you're not first because you go on, you ramble, you do your own thing. Now, Josh is over there masturbating with his iPad
again. He's not, he's wiping it clean.
From here?
Yes, it's not a good
look. When you guys are done, you know, we had friends to plug.
Okay, we have friends to plug. That's right. Now, Real Junkies review films like we do. They are over in America. We hope to meet them. Did I tell you that we're trying to raise money in what's called David Storms America? And if you want to donate, you guys go to geekactually.com because then we can actually go over and meet these people face to face. Okay?
Please give us money. All right. Please.
Now, Real Junkies can be found at weekendronin.com or you can search for them on iTunes. They do like what we do, except that they drink tequila while doing it, so it's kind of fun. Get hammered, man. And you can also go check out our fans at the Movie Fan House or moviefanhouse.com. They do lots of different podcasts now. They do the Movie Fan Cast, which you can find on iTunes. They do Right This Instant with Brad, which you can find on iTunes. And they also have a brand new podcast, which is a limited release podcast called The Talking Dead Cast. And I happen to know all about this intimately because I was on their first episode. Woo-hoo! So go and download that and you can hear me ramble on about the first episode of The Walking Dead TV series. We also have these other people. I don't know. You heard about these guys, Josh?
Yes, I've heard about these guys. RawDLC.com. DLC Live is the name of the show. We go out on Tuesday nights. at 8 p.m. If you haven't been to our site before, we do games, we do films whenever we can be bothered, but we are not quite as in-depth or geeky as Dave is. But yeah, you should come over and check us out, and also sponsor us for Movember. It's on the front page. Give us money so that we can help men.
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 Manly self. Men.
Men.
With
men,
mustaches.
Men. Manly men. 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 So, Katrina, you just do it for me. What can I tell you? When you come in, we start singing.
I know.
You
know? And tunefully.
Tunefully. Okay. Old Spice Men, says Numero Zero. we also have to throw out a big shout out to our friend Josh Spencer over at attackninja.blogspot.com, which I love that domain. He's the cartoonist who created our new logos, and we always have to give him a shout out because he is just wonderfully talented. Now, I think that's it. I think we're done. I think I have nothing else to plug, and we are way, way over time.
Because I'm a talker.
You're a talker. Okay, as is tradition on the show now, we try and go out with a sample of the soundtrack from the film that we reviewed.
Oh.
Doesn't always work, because we can't always get the soundtrack to the film that we reviewed, and in this case, this is the case. The Red soundtrack by Christoph Beck has not been released yet. I will get it eventually. So I thought, because we love the film so much, because we gave it such a good review last week, I thought we should go out with another Trent Reznor piece from The Social Network, because I had the soundtrack queued up, quite frankly. and this is the Hall in the Hall of the Mountain King. This is his digital reworking of the classical piece from the regatta scene in The Social Network. So we'll go out with that because I love it so much. And I'm going to say thank you very much, Katrina, for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Lovely to see you both again. A giggle. Goodbye, chat room.
Do you have anything to plug?
No, just swinging along merrily. Oh, no, I haven't. I possibly could have in the future, but not quite at the minute. That sounds mysterious, doesn't
Boy,
it?
Boy, wow, convoluted.
We'll get back to you on that one.
We'll get back to
Coming
you on that
soon.
One.
Soon.
You're lucky Josh. I did a spy film today.
Yeah, guys, if you want to be friends with me, remember that it is facebook.com/geekjosh. Come join me and make sure you write who you are, otherwise I will ignore you.
Fantastic. And you can follow me, twitter.com/DaveMcVeigh. Find out all the things that we're getting up to. And remember, sponsor now for our trip to America, because it would be
Please.
Wonderful. In the meantime, go see more movies. You don't see enough movies, and all of life's questions are answered in the movies. And we will see you all next week. Bye now.
Bye. Bye.